Hey, you want that to go?
Time for some quick news takeouts on stories we're watching this week. President Obama is on vacation in Hawaii. He has not responded personally to Friday's attempted terrorist attack. Instead, the president deployed his press secretary, Robert Gibbs, to respond over the networks.
We added air marshals to flights coming in and out of this country. So certainly steps were taken to assume and plan for the very worst in order to prevent anything from happening in this country.
That's Gibbs on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. The president himself did not say much. Julie Mason is the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Julie, President Obama said, don't expect to hear from me, and we didn't.
Right, Celeste, it's true. I think he's going to have to come out and say something. It's such a big travel week, and people are really jittery now. I think they really want to hear from the president and get some reassurance from him. So we might hear something early this week.
Okay, but so far, just Janet Napolitano and Robert Gibbs have come out. But they have been pretty much blanketing the networks.
They have, you know, but it's not the same. It's not the same as hearing from the president. These surrogates, you know, they can come out and say the president is vigorously involved in this issue, but until we hear from him, you know, he's opening himself up to a bit of criticism, but playing golf and basketball and going to the beach, well, people are genuinely scared about this.
Yeah, but nobody was hurt. It was an attempted terrorist attack, right, that was foiled. As you said, people are feeling jittery. Is it really the president's role to be kind of our therapist in chief?
It really is. You know, consoler in chief, absolutely, especially because now we're hearing these reports about the intense security at airports. Everyone's missing their connections, and it seems like a very chaotic scene. So a few reassuring words from the president, I think, would go far.
And it will make Julie Mason feel a lot better about getting on that plane, right? Julie Mason,
indeed.
White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Now let's talk a little bit about what people were buying over the holidays. Jane Sassine is a writer for Business Week. So, Jane, we've been getting these numbers out of Amazon.com. It turns out the Kindle was the most gifted item on Amazon, and it was also sold more Kindle books than regular books. So does that mean Kindle wins in the war of electronic readers? Which platform is gonna come ahead? Does Kindle win?
Well, they're definitely doing very well right now, and you know, you have to their experience compared to the Nook, which was the new reader that Barnes & Noble just came out with on Christmas Day, as you said. There were more e-books downloaded by Kindle than any other day in history, and more than any, you know, real books sold, whereas Barnes & Noble, they weren't able to function well, and so their servers crashed, and you couldn't actually order a book there. So certainly for right now, they're doing very well, but it's very early on in this battle because there are actually more... For the iPod, more people have downloaded an e-reader app over the last year as well. I think it's actually the most downloaded application for iPod. So, you know, people can use that to do the same thing, and they don't necessarily need a whole separate device.
But that's a very small screen as opposed to the Kindle, where it's very easy to read everything. What does this mean about, I assume that this is going to have implications for libraries as we move toward e-books, but the one winner in this equation could be newspapers.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of newspapers are turning towards these devices, but they, like magazines, they don't want to have the same problem that the music industry has had with iTunes, which is, you know, you got one platform that's really dominant, and therefore the pricing is controlled. Like Apple controls the pricing on music, and it's been a real problem for the music industry. So part of what the newspapers and magazines are doing is they're trying to come up with a way of being read on e-readers, but that also can be read on smartphones, on netbooks and whatnot. So they have a lot of different options. And that could be, it's a year or two away, but that could be a real problem for Kindle.
Jane, do you own a Kindle?
I do not.
Oh, so you're not ready to jump on board?
Well, precisely, because one thing you got to also know is, as a real competitive threat to them, is there's been a lot of rumors for the last year that Apple is going to come out with what's called a tablet, which is a larger, essentially a version of, it's like an iPod, but four times bigger. Now imagine that as an e-reader. It's got the color screen we all love. It's got the touch screen and whatnot.
Right.
It's got a lot more flexibility. You can read a book on it. You can read a magazine that actually, in theory, looks like a magazine.
And, and the automatic Mac cool factor, right? That's
exactly,
Jane Sassine,
exactly.
A writer for Business Week. Let's move on to sports now with our sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
The party is over. The Indianapolis Colts no longer undefeated.
And so that will do it. Sanchez takes a knee. The clock winds and it's over. The Jets come to Indianapolis. They end the Colts' undefeated season. 14-1 now the Colts. 8-7 are the Jets.
Are those boos we're hitting in the background?
They were boos because the Indianapolis faithful were not happy to see their team go down. They wanted to see them have an undefeated season and join the New England Patriots of 2007 and the 1972 Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins are still the only team that ever went undefeated. The 72 Dolphins, they went undefeated and then won the Super Bowl. The Patriots were the only team that ever went undefeated besides the Dolphins in the regular season. The Indianapolis Colts go down, and the sad part about it is that Peyton Manning had to watch most of it after they had a 15-10 lead. He had to watch most of the loss. The Jets scored unanswered points and took the lead. He had to watch the loss from the sidelines. He didn't look happy.
Yeah, the Jets won 29-15 yesterday. After Peyton Manning sent out, the Colts never scored again. So let's move on from Peyton Manning, the quarterback, to coaching. Urban Meyer, what is the impact of him leaving? Well, what are we talking about, this impact on the coaching world with the story with Urban Meyer?
I think the biggest impact is similar to the way the concussion story hit the NFL. So in the NFL, you heard about concussions, and it changed the way people are thinking about how are people dealing with players that are getting blunt trauma to the head. Well, NFL coaches take an incredible amount of abuse just being coaches. They spend all of their time focusing on recruiting, looking at tape, coaching their staff. They have very little time to actually be human beings, and mostly what the doctors are saying to him is he needs to take a break. And that's why he said it's either all or nothing. Either I coach or I just resign. And so initially he resigned,
right.
And then the athletic director said, listen, take a leave of absence. Really what it is for Urban Meyer is Urban Meyer has built one of the most successful football programs in the history of college football. He needs to take a break.
Okay, well, better luck to him in the future in getting his stress levels down.
Indeed.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway Sports contributor, thanks so much. Coming up, we're going to look at the agenda with Raihan Salam and the BBC's Rob Watson. Iran, Pakistan, healthcare, terrorism, they're all on the agenda. Just a few minutes.